My name is Mike Morgan.
The title of our message is A Sermon Full of Questions. Our text, 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. How do you know you're saved? Some people point to a warm, fuzzy feeling they have, or a still, small voice that speaks to their heart. Most people cite their love for God and good moral life as proof. Many believe there's no way a person can be sure of their salvation. We just have to wait until the day of judgment to receive the final verdict. Children are often taught to pray, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." If before we go to sleep tonight, there is a question mark about our standing with God, then there is no way we can get a good night's sleep. Not knowing where we will wake up in eternity should create in our minds an uneasy terror. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." What about the peace of mind and heart that we enjoy? Is it possible for us to have the assurance of salvation? And if so, how? There must be a way that sinful man can know for sure where he stands with God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." The word "know" is used over 20 times in 1 John. This word has to do with the assurance of fellowship. The book of 1 John gives us principles by which we can measure our lives and tell whether or not we are in a right relationship with God. John does not point to some mysterious thing for the answer. It is not based on how I feel or someone else's interpretation of God's word. John gives us definite, tangible things that we can lay our hands on. Questions that we can ask ourselves that will answer this life and death question. This morning, we will look in the mirror and answer seven questions that will determine our fellowship and standing with God. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. "Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments." Question number 1. What is our attitude towards God's commandments? Are there commandments of God that we regard as unimportant? Are there statutes and commandments that apply to others and not to us? If there are commandments that we disregard, then there's no way to get a good night's sleep. But if our attitude towards God's commandment is, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears," then we can go to bed tonight in full confidence that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. "But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him." This verse does not point to a specific commandment, but to the entire Word of God, both Old and New Testament. Question number 2. What is our attitude towards the Word of God? Is it our desire to faithfully obey His commandments, or do we say, "Not thy will, but my will be done"? We're not talking about sinless perfection, but having the attitude, "Just tell me what the Bible teaches, and I will try my best to do it." Jesus said, "If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments." John 14, verse 15. Do we read the Bible and understand what God's commands and then push it off to the side? When the Bible says, he that believes and is baptized will be saved, do we say, I'm not doing that because it makes no sense? What do we do with 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, which says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? Are we serious Bible students? Do we agree with our president who said on December the 12th, 2014, the good book says, don't throw stones in glass houses, or make sure we are looking at the log in our eye before we are pointing out the mote in other folks' eyes? Can we even recognize when the Holy Scriptures are being twisted? If we do not seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, there's no way to go to bed tonight with any peace of mind and heart. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. How did Jesus walk this earth? In John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Above everything else, Jesus wanted to accomplish the Father's will. What do we live for? Is it the prime aim and chief ambition of our life to do the will of God? Can we say that we walk as Jesus walked? It's easy to say yes, but our actions speak louder than words. If our attitude is to do the will of God, then we can know for sure that He is our Father. If doing God's will is not our first priority in life, then we should wake up tonight in a cold sweat. Another test of fellowship is found in 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Question number 3. What is our attitude towards righteousness? Are we interested in doing those things which are right? It's not difficult to understand God's attitude towards righteousness. Just read the Bible. In principle, every circumstance that we may face in life is dealt with in God's Word. When faced with temptation, God makes a way of escape for us to do right. God does right because of His character, nature, and being. The gospel of Christ is designed to reproduce in us the mind of Christ. Have we developed an appreciation for what is right, or do we behave because we have to? If we do not appreciate and practice righteousness, then our redemption from sin must be questioned. John gives us a negative test of fellowship in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Question number 4. What do we think about this world? Do we see this world as corrupt, sinful, and separated from God? Do we abhor sin, or, like Lot's wife, look at it with appreciation and longing? It's okay to enjoy the beauties of God's creation, but the principles, ideals, and aspirations of the world are not good. What appeals to us more, God's Word or the things of the world? What do we live for, God or worldly things that will perish with the using. According to Scripture, if this world has our affections, then the love of God is not in our hearts. If we love the Lord and pattern our lives after His Word, then we can close our eyes tonight and get a good night's sleep. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. In a world of filth and wickedness, what is our attitude towards purity? Do we shun that which is evil and cling to that which is good? Do we look straight ahead or lust after what passes by? Do we abstain from all appearance of evil, or do we need a little bit of wine for our frequent ailments or pleasure? The prophet Amos condemned Israel for giving wine to the Nazarites and telling the prophets, "Do not prophesy." Amos chapter 2, verse 12. Do we actually believe that Jesus created and served an alcoholic beverage at a wedding feast with the disclaimer, "Drink responsibly"? No, the spotless Lamb of God was pure and holy. Jesus could not be tempted by evil, nor did he himself tempt anyone. How does our sin affect us? In moments of frailty and weakness, do we repent quickly or believe God will forgive unrepentant sin? What is our attitude towards the sins of others? We cannot separate ourselves from the sinful people of this world, but do we spend more time with those outside of Christ than those of like precious faith? If we do not have the desire and interest to walk each day before God in purity and holiness, in my humble opinion, we should be afraid to close our eyes at night for fear of death. Here's a way that we can know if we are a child of God or a child of the devil. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. The person who lives in sin would say, "I love Jesus." Well, no, you don't, because you're not living right. "Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life." No, he's not, because you are doing opposite of what he says. Well, that's your opinion, preacher. Well, no, it's not. According to Scripture, if Jesus came back today, the man or woman living in sin would be in torment tomorrow. But verse 10 does not stop there. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. The one who does not practice righteousness and the one who does not love his brother are in the same boat heading over the cliff of destruction. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We are commanded to do good to all men, but especially to who? Members of the body of Christ. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Question number 5. What is our attitude towards brothers and sisters in Christ? If there is a dispute or wrong attitude towards my brother or sister in Christ, I should be afraid to go to sleep tonight because I might not wake up tomorrow. John said, "Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you." It is the character and nature of the world to hate Christians. We should not be surprised if the world hates us and speaks evil of us. But to have a brother or sister feel that way about me is tragic beyond measure. For example, here's a Christian who is enthusiastic, loves the Lord, and uses every opportunity to share his or her faith, and I don't like it. When that person comments in class or shares personal experience, I mumble under my breath, "Here he goes again. I wish he would be quiet." When a new Christian spreads their wings and tries different areas of worship, such as serving on the Lord's table, public prayer, or singing, I want them to sit down because they are not polished. If we ever find ourselves guilty of murmuring and complaining against the body of Christ or any individual Christian, we need to repent quickly, because I'm not sure that we can go to heaven with such an attitude. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. This is not the only test of fellowship, but it is one way we can measure our standing with God. If I do not love my brothers and sisters in Christ, I am abiding in death, and unless corrected, I will miss heaven. How can we find out if we love our brethren? Well, it's not some type of feeling or just saying the words. 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in needs and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Is this the way we feel? What would we do for a fellow Christian in need? Do we have opportunity to help brethren, and like the priest and Levite, we walk on by? Do we close our eyes to the needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ? If so, John says, we do not love them. The test of love is not just in saying the words. Have you ever been to a service where they say, stand up and tell the person beside you, I love you? That does not fulfill this command to love our brethren. According to 1 John 3, verse 18, such a gesture means nothing, because some people might be embarrassed, and others might not say it in truth or sincerity. To do such a thing would just compound sin. 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Loving our brothers and sisters in truth is demonstrated by good deeds done. Are there brethren round about us that need us? When announcements are made of church family in need, do we just pass off like nothing has been said? Do I say, I love you, be warmed and filled? Or do we come to their rescue? Franklin Camp said, the greatest problem that has affected the restoration movement has been the failure to understand and apply the principles of love that enable brethren to dwell together in unity. The love of God is intended to be perfected and demonstrated through us. To see our brother and fail to love and serve them is to say to the world that we do not love God or our brothers. Do we want to close our eyes tonight and get a good night's sleep knowing that all is well between us and God? Oh, you bet, preacher. John said, look at your attitude and actions towards brethren. If there are no good deeds, we have reason to wake up tonight disturbed. disturbed and anxious. 1 John chapter 4 shows that our love for each other is a characteristic of God Himself. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Question number 6. Do I love the brethren like God loves me? Our baptism into Christ creates a spiritual kinship with one another. Conversion reproduces in us the mind of Christ and the beautiful qualities that Jesus displayed. When did God love us? God loved us when we were unlovable. Are there times when Brother Mike is unlovable? Well, don't ask my wife. How often do we think that people must deserve our love, and if they do not respond correctly, we withhold our love? What if God had done that to us? We would be without God and without hope, lost for eternity. My friends, aren't you thankful that God didn't do that? The gospel of Christ is intended to reproduce in us the type of love God has. Our attitude towards the brethren shows the impact that the love of God has had on our life. And finally, 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Question number 7. Are the commandments of God light and easy, or burdensome and grievous? Is the prospect of walking in the light a painful thought or a delight? Do we view God's Word as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, or an outdated book for religious fanatics? God help us to study His Word in front of a mirror and strive each and every day to walk in the light as He is in the light. If we do that, we can be assured that if we die before we wake,